Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we will focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Ampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. We're welcoming another guest today. Before we introduce our guest, we'd like to share some insights from our listeners and Instagram followers that we received a few weeks ago when we asked the question, do you plan your meals for the week? And if meal planning is difficult for you, what's the main reason? About 55% of the people who answered our poll said that they're trying to incorporate meal planning into their weekly routine, while about 45% said that a meal planning habit just doesn't seem to stick. Here are some of the reasons why people said that they find this a difficult habit to adopt. Finding time and motivation, lack of time to buy the ingredients they need, not knowing when and how to start, having to spend time deciding on the menu and then meal prepping, and then family not being on board when the actual meals are what they want them to be when they're planning. So it looks like many people find this particular habit difficult for a lot of reasons. This is also something that's easy to overthink. If you'd like us to share how we incorporate this into our weekly routine, send us a message through our website, social media, or by email. We'd be happy to share more details about it here on the podcast or on social media. And I can say for myself that I find I go through periods of time when I plan our meals a lot and other periods when I'm basically just flying by the seat of my pants. What about you, Veronica?
Yeah, this sounds a lot like me, though lately I've been pretty good about planning your weekly menu, as I realized it only takes me a few minutes, and I think I've synchronized it well with our grocery shopping. I don't have to like first decide on the recipes and then go buy the ingredients. I actually just go about our regular grocery shopping and then plan the meals around what we have. And now my kids remind me when it's time to fill out our weekly menu chart, so I'm encouraged by this being a good habit for them as well down the road. And now to today's special guest. We are so excited to welcome our friend and colleague, Tess Witte. Tess is an English to Swedish freelance translator specializing in corporate communications, software, and IT. She has a master's degree in economics and a master of arts in marketing, and previously worked as a marketing manager. She shares her knowledge and experience in marketing and business as an award-winning speaker, trainer, consultant, author, and podcaster. For more information or to connect with Tess, you can go to her website, www.swedishtranslationservices.com or www.marketingtipsfortranslators.com. Thank you for joining us, Tess.
Thank you for having me. Those URLs are a mouthful, aren't they?
Right.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on this podcast.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I think a lot of our listeners know you already from your own podcast, Marketing Tips for Translators. So we're excited to talk to you as well. So let's jump right in. Can you tell us when and how did you start your freelance career?
Well, that was really long ago. No, I like you said in the introduction, I used to work as a full-time employee for an IT company doing marketing, working myself up from marketing assistant to product marketing manager. And when I was studying, like at the university and in high school, I loved languages. I studied 6 languages, but I never saw a career in it. I didn't think I wanted to be a language teacher. And that was the only career I sort of could think of.
Wow, so, yeah.
I studied marketing and studied languages on the side, but then I married an American that I met in Sweden. Actually, we met in Finland, but we lived in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And he got a job offer here at the University of Utah, and we decided to move and that it was easier. He's very specialized, so it's easier for me to find another job than for him. So we moved, and I had a two-year-old, or we had a two-year-old, and I was pregnant with our daughter. But when I sort of settled down here, I quickly realized that the system here is much different, more different. Mm-hmm. I was used to being able to have 1 year's maternity leave, 6 weeks of vacation, and work 75% as a manager and still have a lot of time for the kids. And that was not the case here, especially not when starting out without any contacts or any, yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty foreign concept here.
So I decided I had to do something on my own that I could do from home. And I did try, I tried selling toys, you know, those home parties.
Okay.
And insurances. And I did go to job interviews, but I was sort of deterred when I realized how much daycare was here and how the what value it was for the money. So then a former colleague of mine said, well, you did some translations during this time. Why don't you look into translation? And I was like, huh, yeah, maybe I'll do that. And that's what I did. I started researching translation as a career or as a freelancer. And after some time researching, I put out my resume, signed up for pros.com, actually. That's where I got started before I even became a member of the American Translators Association. And after my first few jobs, I haven't looked back.
Very nice. Interesting. So what does a typical workday look like for you?
Oh, so this changes with the season, I think, and not the season of the year, but the season of your career. So in the beginning, I was working whenever the kids were napping or in preschool. So I was also working, you know, after they went to bed and stuff. And then once they started school, it became more regular that I was trying to work while they were in school. But I also, I need my exercise. So I also worked out during that time. Mm-hmm. Now I'm an empty nester. So my typical work day these days is that I try to get up reasonably early because I have clients in Europe that I need to respond to before they end their workday. So I try to be online and ready by 7:30 my time, mountain time. And then I respond to all the emails and I plan my day and what I need to do. And I do my marketing activities in the morning too. My rule for me is that I have to do a little bit of marketing before I can have lunch.
That's a great
motivation. Yeah.
But I also try to work out in the morning. So after I've checked my email and planned my day and done a little bit of marketing, that's when I take time to go work out. Mm-hmm. And like today, I just came back from skate skiing. So, and then the afternoon it for me is then the emails are settling down for me. And that's when I do my focused translation work most of the time. And I, like I said, my husband is a professor, so he has a lot of work too. So I would be bored if I didn't have a lot of work and running my own business, I think. But I try to end my day by 6. Mm-hmm. And I try to not work weekends, but sometimes there's things sliding over into the weekend. But I don't work more than 1 or 2 hours on weekends.
On the weekends. Okay. Yeah. So during the day when you take time to work out or you start your translation work in the afternoon, do you typically have a certain amount of time that you dedicate to those types of, you know, different activities, like, you know, dedicated time for working out, or does it just depend on your day, how much time you dedicate to either a workout or client work or something like that?
I would say it's pretty fixed. I've allowed myself an hour of workout every day. So I live in a ski resort, so most people here, I don't know how they make their money, but they're out playing, like we say, all day, skiing, mountain biking, hiking for several hours. I have a lot of friends that can do that, but for me, it's like I only have an hour in the work week, plus maybe 15 minutes to go somewhere and go back. So that becomes an hour and a half. In the mornings, I also work on marketing, like I said, and I also work on my marketing training. Mm-hmm. But after lunch, that's when I have my focused translation time. And if I'm not done with my marketing courses and stuff, then that's when it slides into the evening or weekends.
Okay.
And my volunteer work and
right.
My podcasts and stuff like that. So,
right.
I would say I work with translation work about part-time, but it stands for about 80% of my income.
Great. Cool.
Well, it sounds like you have a full plate like so many of us. And to make it all work, you have to stay disciplined and, you know, come up with some rules for yourself. Like you said, you know, you have to do some marketing tasks before you have lunch. I have a similar one. I don't allow myself to take a shower until I've worked out every day. So that's my rule. But what are some smart habits that have been crucial in your career to make it work?
So for me, it's been that not to try to do everything yourself. To focus on what you are good at and then outsource the rest. And this was a hard thing to learn because in the beginning, we don't have much money to spare. Mm-hmm. But when I switched the thinking into, okay, if I pay an accountant this much per hour and if I earn more per hour, then it's worth it.
Yeah.
So same thing with we got a cleaning lady early on too, because I was like, I don't want to spend my weekends cleaning. I want to, you know, spend it having fun with my family. Mm.
And, I've just discovered this recently and I got to tell you, it's totally a life changer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Veronica even said to me, why didn't you do this earlier?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm on board. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that switch for me helped a lot. If I'm earning more per hour doing translation work, then it is worth it. Mm. So
definitely.
Yeah. It can be hard to, you know, if you like to micromanage and control things, it can be hard to make that switch though for many things, like, you know, maybe not for accounting because personally I'm not an accounting expert. So
yes.
I'll gladly hire an accountant. But if I were to think of a virtual assistant or something along these lines, I'd be, you know, I know for me, it would be hard to give up some control over these things.
So I have a virtual assistant and this is how I've done it. And I need a virtual assistant to help me with all my, like I create the material and the content and she publishes it and she edits the podcast and she does all the design, even if designing presentations or worksheets and checklists is fun, it's more worth my time that she does it.
Right.
And for me, how to get a virtual assistant to work is that you learn it all in the beginning and then you really document the steps that you do. Mm-hmm. And then you can give the process to her. And then you, of course, I say her because mine is a her. But it can, of course, be a he. And then in the beginning, you sort of have to check in. Like we have weekly check-ins and meetings these days, but just checking in. And then now I'm like forwarding all my, okay, this link isn't working. Can you help me? I'm forwarding it to her or some. Or now it's gone to the point where she knows my course software platform more than I do.
Wow.
So yeah. I have asked her questions on how to do it.
Right. Well, that's great. Let's talk about marketing habits in particular, since we have you here, and that's the topic of your podcast, Marketing Tips for Translators. In your experience, what marketing habits do most freelance translators struggle with, underestimate, or overlook?
Beginning translators, what they struggle with the most is that they are still thinking they're employees. Mm. and that the any client is their boss and they have to follow them, and they don't think like a business. They don't think strategically, which means that they struggle with planning their marketing, setting goals, defining action steps, putting it into your scheduling and actually doing it and reviewing it and updating it and see what works and what doesn't work. I think the mistake that I have also made in the beginning is to save the marketing until you have a slow period.
Yes.
Yeah, which right. means that you will have more slow periods because you are only marketing when you have a slow period. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's more important to plan it, define it, schedule it, and review it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Another thing that is hard is also we have to constantly work on our mindset to test things instead of just complain and think that we are the victim and we have to take on whatever is offered to us, instead of strategically testing our mindset, thinking that we are a business, that we don't have to compete on price necessarily. We can find other clients. So, yeah.
Yeah, mindset is a big part of it. I agree. You know, it's all about what you're willing to accept from the client relationships you have, I think.
And I think that's especially hard in the beginning because you don't have the experience. You have to test mm-hmm. out doing the negotiating. You have to test out saying no and finding others and negotiate your fees and stuff before you realize that, oh yeah, it actually works.
Mm. Yeah. Or I can do something differently. I don't have to do it necessarily this way just because I've always done it this way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we all have these periods in life when we struggle from the imposter syndrome.
Oh, yes.
And I feel especially beginners, but also mid-career, you get these moments where you think, oh, well, they probably know better than me. Or, you know, who am I to say that I'm worth this much or that I need mm-hmm. this much time to do something? Mm-hmm. So you're more prone to say yes to things that you shouldn't.
Yeah. And I think it's important for everybody to realize that everybody has this from one time to another. And it's a constant thing to work on. It's nothing that like goes away.
Right. It just, I heard once somebody said that when you become more successful is when you end up having more imposter syndrome, actually, because the stakes are higher. I don't know if that's true, but I thought that was a very interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes with knowledge. The people that are the wisest are the people that think that they don't know it all.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because exactly. they constantly strive for more knowledge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we know that many translators who are just starting out in their freelance career tend to struggle with choosing what's most important to focus on first. This is sort of what we've been discussing already. There are so many things that need to be done and everything seems important in the beginning, especially. Like they might think, you know, do I need to focus on setting up good administrative systems or creating a website or reaching out to clients or building up specializations and maybe 100 other things? What advice would you give to our listeners who are in this situation right now?
I would say that first starting out, I think I read a blog post the other day about how this market seems to be tougher for starting out. So you have to become an expert in something to stand out. So you have to specialize. You can't go and say, I can work on this and 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 this topic, because that sounds like a machine.
Right.
So from starting out, try to narrow down and specialize to become an expert in an area. That doesn't mean that you can't do work in other areas. But mm-hmm. I would focus on that in the beginning in order to have a more successful growth and be able to charge more in the end and be more attractive to potential clients if you are a beginner. The other thing I really think that people should focus on is to finding enough client to create a sustainable business. I've worked with many different clients and many different projects, and everything will become easier Once you have a sustainable base, then you can start picking and choosing your customers. You can start building your specialization if you're finding it hard in the beginning to know what it is. Yeah. So in the beginning, you really, really need to like 100% marketing until you find a sustainable client base. It's not mm-hmm. enough to apply to 10 new clients a week. It should be, I don't know, 50 if you can, maybe not 50 in a week, but 100. If you haven't had any after 100, then maybe you need to change your strategy. But in the beginning, it's the most important is to keep marketing, keep reaching out, work on your resume and your website, and keep marketing until you have a sustainable business. After that, you can start working on your structure, your administration, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a separate business account. That is also important in the beginning. But I don't think you, as a beginning translator, should say, oh, I can't start marketing until I have a website, and I can't start marketing until I have a perfect resume, or I yep. need all these things.
Right. That's really important. I think that we tend to be, as translators, perfectionists because of just the nature of our job, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's true. I mean, if we keep, you know, saying, well, I can't do this until such and such is perfect, well, then we'll never get started. And that's really the thing, is just to start mm-hmm. and start somewhere. And, you know, I think we can probably all say that in the very beginning, our marketing strategies weren't great. Our first website was probably, you know, terrible. Now we would look back at it and go, oh my goodness. But at the time, you got to start somewhere, right? So there's no shame in that.
Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, you might even have to do some volunteer translations just to get the experience.
Yep.
But whatever you do, just get as much experience as you can and focus on reaching out to clients until you have a sustainable business.
Right, exactly. Great, great tips. So let's switch gears a bit to mid-career professionals. What is the number one marketing tip you would give to mid-career professionals who are looking to grow their business?
I would say that this is the time when you need to get more strategic. It's easy in the beginning to, focus on agencies and working on many different projects. I think you need to become more strategic. It's even more important to become an expert in a certain area. It's even more important to work on your mindset and be more picky about your clients and sort of structuring your time to be more sustainable.
Yeah.
And create more balance or...
Mm-hmm. And how would you suggest people go about defining that strategy for themselves? Because everybody's strategy is going to be different.
I have a course on this.
Okay. Tell us about it.
Well, the cart just closed, but it's basically, if you've been working as a freelance translator for a while and you feel like you've plateaued and you want to sort of get a nudge to become more strategic and focused in your marketing and business, I go from everything from defining your ideal clients to defining how you are unique and standing out, and then how to go about finding your ideal clients for you, and not just any client, but your ideal clients, and how to reach out to them and how to plan it. And of course, I'm teaching a marketing plan because I think that's important mm-hmm. to have.
Right.
And I talk a lot about in the course about mindset, how we have to shift our mindset to not feel victimized and think that we have to lower our prices. There are clients out there that are willing to pay for your expertise if you have it mm-hmm. and can really explain how to provide value.
Yeah. So that might be the difference too, from a beginner to a mid-career professional, would be just changing the plan and the strategy overall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. You need to become more focused and more strategic.
Mm-hmm. There are so many great tips, and we'll make sure that we add a link to your course in our show notes as well, Tess.
Yes, the cart is closed, but you can sign up to be notified when it opens again. I usually only launch it once a year.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering our questions and for sharing your perspective with us and our listeners. And now it's time for our smart habit check-in. This is where we ask each other about a habit we may have committed to in a previous episode and check in with each other on how we're doing or what we might do better. And Tess has agreed to join us in our check-in today. So Tess, is there a particular habit related to your work or personal interests that you're working on right now? And can you share your goals and progress?
I think I have my work habits down pretty good these days, although it might change with the seasons. And we talked about, you know, marketing before I have lunch and stuff. But mm-hmm. as a, you also said about the rest of our lives. So we are empty nesters now, and we took up dancing. We're taking salsa lessons.
Wow!
Oh, that's fancy.
yeah, so that's what we're doing. And my husband has also taken an international sailing certificate, so we go sailing a lot or whenever we can on our vacations. What I'm working on right now is that I think I need to trim down on a little bit on my volunteer work in the translation industry.
Yeah.
I have a hard time saying no to volunteer work, and I think March especially, which we are in now, it's going to be really, really busy with volunteer work. But it's a season and it's going to pass.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know all about it.
I also try to batch tasks more. Like right now, I know I will be traveling for most of April and May, and I will focus on doing all my marketing training tasks before that. So when I travel, I only focus on maintaining my translation work. So for example, right now I am planning and batching podcast episodes all through mid-June.
That's excellent. Great. Thank you. A habit I'm working on right now is being in control, or reminding myself that I am in control of my workload and my daily schedule. Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy to get sucked into checking your phone or your email, and then suddenly you see an urgent email or a text message, and suddenly you're no longer in control of what you're spending your time on, but it's somebody else's agenda that matters the most, you know, and you forget about the tasks you were doing before that. So there have been a few instances like this lately, which seriously disrupted my day and my mood and my productivity. So now when I'm working on something and I need to get some deep focused work done, I started leaving my phone in the kitchen, and I close my all the screens on my computer other than what I'm working on right now. And it is not easy because we are so used to being instantly connected with the world. And plus, there's a fear of missing out when you hear like a ping of a text message or an email. But I have been really encouraged with how focused and productive I am when I do this. So it's something that I remind myself to do every day. What about you, Madalena?
Yeah, that's interesting. We must be on the same wavelength again, because for me, it's been working on setting better boundaries for work-life clarity purposes, which is funny because that you say this, because I'm also somebody who is often very connected for various things, because, you know, we're all involved in a lot of different things. So we are on our emails maybe for one thing, and then somebody emails us for another type of, you know, either volunteer work or work that we do for client or colleague or something. So it's that kind of, you know, setting the times or boundaries. And we were talking about this before we started recording today's episode, but essentially I had this moment the other day when I realized, and I don't think that it's that I didn't know this before, but I felt like the boundaries that we set really aren't necessarily for other people. I mean, they are in the sense of, you know, we have to determine what we're going to do at certain times for other people or how we're going to be available to them, but it's for ourselves first, because I can easily say, okay, I'm going to work on such and such for this amount of time today. And then, you know, maybe in 2 days I'll pick this up again and work on it again for another 2 hours. But unless I stick to that, you know, and I don't allow other interruptions and distractions to take the place of that, then I can't expect anybody else to do that for me. So something you said, Veronica, reminded me of a very good book by Cal Newport, which we can put in the show notes, and it's called Deep Work. Mm. It's a really good book, Deep Work. He has a few books, but that one's particularly good.
I've read it.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's a good book. He has a another one on digital detox, which is good. That kind of is a good segue into our Book Nook segment. This is a popular segment that we share on our podcast. We've realized that our listeners really love hearing about books that we're reading and, of course, about sharing the books that they're reading. So in this segment, we share our latest reads and whether we'd recommend them to colleagues. So Tess, what book are you reading right now or have you read recently?
I just finished a book called Company of One by Paul Jarvis.
I've read that one too.
Have you? Mm-hmm. I thought it was an excellent book for us freelancers, or like I think of myself as a company of one and not just as a freelancer. So a lot of the tips in it were very valuable to me. And I kind of like the philosophy of staying small, and we don't have to grow indefinitely and become bigger and earn more and more and more to the detriment of the rest of our life and lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So I really recommend this book, Company of One by Paul Jarvis. And I listen to it. That's how I consume my business books. And then if I find that I need the paper copy, I ordered the paper copy to take notes and stuff.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that is a really good book. I think that one I have on my Kindle and I go back to it a lot because it's true. I mean, I'm a freelancer, but I also have a small language company, and I like the fact that it's small and I have no desire to make it big. Mm-hmm. It's just for the life that I want to have, that's the perfect fit for me. And yeah, even if you do, like, say, you know, like Tess works with a virtual assistant, or anybody who works, you know, maybe with one or two other people, it's a very good book to check out. So we'll be sure to link that in the show notes too. So I'm reading right now, it's actually a memoir. It's kind of a popular book right now, or it has been. It's called Educated by Tara Westover. You may have heard of this, Veronica and Tess, I'm not sure, but...
Well, she lived not very far away from here.
Right. Okay, so Tess is in Utah.
Here in Utah.
Right. So Tess is in Utah, and the author of this book, I think, was originally from Idaho, if I'm not mistaken, but she's
close to the Utah border.
Okay. Yeah. And so she basically grew up, her family sort of lived, if you will, I guess, off the grid. They didn't, the father of the family, I believe, didn't believe in medicine. And they just had an upbringing that was very, it's just not the norm in most of society.
He was anti-government, like mm-hmm. not being like part of that government-run society. So no school, no hospitals, no...
Yeah, exactly. And so then she decided that she was going to teach herself about a lot of different subjects. And essentially in the end, she went to Brigham Young University, like Tess said, and she just became very, very successful. And it's a fascinating story about somebody who had this sort of personal struggle in their life where they didn't have an upbringing that, you know, really matched with the outcome of their life. And it's very, very interesting memoir. I know a lot of people have been talking about this one, but I just picked it up the other day.
She studied at Cambridge in the UK and she mm-hmm. became a professor. And I think the book has been translated to hundreds of languages.
Probably a lot. Yeah.
People in Sweden not talking about it.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Veronica, what are you reading right now?
I am rereading a book that I bought a couple of years ago called Sleep Smarter by Sean Stevenson. I read it back then because I had some serious sleep issues and I loved it so much. I have been recommending it to friends and colleagues ever since. And the author also has a podcast, which is really good. I like the book because it feels like the author really connects with the issues that some of us are having at different moments in life with sleep. And he knows what are the main culprits of bad sleep habits and disrupted sleep. And he shares a lot of great tips. There's information on how our lifestyle, exercise, and nutrition can affect our sleep. He gives advice on how to set up a great, what he calls a sleep sanctuary, even what to wear for best sleep and things to do before you sleep and right after you wake up. it's been really useful for me. And I've had some sleep troubles recently, so I picked up that book again, and I highly recommend it. Yeah,
sleep is super important.
So it's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tess. This has been really informative, and we hope that our listeners will enjoy your tips and strategies.
Thank you for having me. And closely related to what we talked about today is if they want to find out more, they can go. I have some free checklists to download. One of my best productivity tips that I find works for me, but also another one about my productivity tools. For example, one of them is I use Rescue Time to track my activities on both my computers. It's a plugin, and it's really eye-opening.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. And you can define what is productive time and non-productive time. So, for example, social media is non-productive. Sometimes I have to use it for my course right now has a Facebook group where we're active and give each other feedback and stuff. But other than that, Facebook is a non-productive time for me. And you can set goals to see how much time you want to spend on emails, for example.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So we will share those links to your free resources then for sure in our show notes. Veronica, I think that's it for today, right?
Yes. That's it for this week's episode. Tess, thank you so much for offering these free resources to our listeners. And we'll also add the links to your website to our show notes. We'll be sending your email subscribers a summary of today's episode with a link to the show notes so you can quickly find all the resources that we mentioned. And make sure that you check out Tess's podcast, Marketing Tips for Translators. We'll talk to you in our next episode on May 5th.
Talk to you then.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tess.
Thanks, Tess.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered a simple strategy that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover on this podcast, please record a quick voice message and email it to us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, please leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts, and please share the podcast with other translators you know.